two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
KSL News Time, 5:45. The three things you need to know this hour. First,
Utah's days-old abortion trigger law is officially on hold for at least the next 14 days after the judge granted a temporary restraining order as he considers a lawsuit. I'm KSL News Radio's Becky Bruce.
Second, the House Select Committee announced a surprise January 6th hearing for tomorrow. You can hear it right here on KSL News Radio beginning at 11. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot with Ricky Meese.
Not an easy drive for anyone going southbound this evening. You're going to see delays on I-15 from Murray to the Point, and then again SR-92 Lehigh to Linden. Redwood Road packed in and slow. Riverton to Lehigh. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Temperatures back in the 90s with some scattered storms over southern Utah. I'm Kevin Eubank.
Right now 96 degrees downtown. Time for KSL's top national stories.
Three people are dead after an Amtrak train collided with a dump truck at an intersection in rural Missouri. Lieutenant Eric Brown with the Missouri State Highway Patrol.
It's an uncontrolled crossbuck intersection on a gravel road, so no lights, no electronic control devices.
Former NTSB safety engineer Russell Quimby.
Amtrak in particular, but trains cannot generally stop if someone's in front of them in within their sight distance, even if it's a long sight distance as in this accident.
The Southwest chief was traveling from Los Angeles to Chicago. CENTCOM says U.S. troops killed a senior leader of a group aligned with Al-Qaeda. Abu Hamza al-Yamani was traveling alone on a motorcycle in Syria. Attorney John Eastman, who aided former President Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election results, says federal agents seized his cell phone as he left a restaurant. Stocks closed at their session lows. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
It's time for the KSL In-Depth. The Utah judge has agreed to issue a temporary restraining order against the state's abortion trigger law, which has only been in effect for a few days. Tyler Green represented the state at an emergency hearing today. He argued there is no state constitutional right to an abortion.
There's not any language that the plaintiffs point to that uses the word abortion itself specifically in any of those provisions. Again, there are seven claims. There are 10 constitutional provisions by my count that the plaintiffs invoke, scattered around various sections of Article 1 and Article 4 in the Utah Constitution, but no attempt in any of those provisions or with respect to any of those provisions to say that an ordinary speaker of the English language at the time that any of those provisions was adopted would have understood any of those provisions to encompass a right to abortion. It's not there mentioned specifically, and there are other examples Your Honor may know, and we can certainly talk about it in our papers. There are ways to do this if the members of the political branches decide that this is something specifically they want to protect. Our neighbors to the east in Colorado earlier this year passed a law that expressly preserves and protects the right to abortion using that specific and express language. But nothing like that appears anywhere in these constitutional provisions. So for that reason alone, we think that the plaintiffs have failed to carry their burden with respect to likelihood of success.
Julie Murray presented arguments on behalf of the Planned Parenthood Association of Utah.
It is a constitution we're talking about, as has been said. These are not, there are lots of things that are protected under a concept of equal rights, under due process for individuals that are not specifically mentioned by name in the constitution. And so I think, of course, that does not rule out coverage from abortion. And in fact, if you look, as we do in our papers, carefully at the language of the statute or of the constitutional provisions at issue, we look at the history of the provisions and explain how they differ from federal constitutional language. If you look at that, I think that there is, in fact, strong support for the view that abortion would have been understood to be part of the rights that were enjoyed or would be enjoyed under the understanding of people who were the framers of the Constitution. There was a sense in that document that men and women should enjoy equally the social and political, civil and political rights of the state. And that, of course, is going to change over time.
The law will be on a temporary hold for at least 14 days.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.